All right, guys. Welcome to another edition of the Adonis Lifestyle Podcast. My name is Brad Howard, and today I've got a very special guest, actually a gentleman I met just a few weeks ago, and his specialty is actually getting women to approach you, which sounds a little bit different than what you're probably familiar with and things like that. I mean, most guys are trying to go up and talk to women and essentially beg them into going out with them and stuff like that. So I've got my friend, his name is John Alanis, on the phone, and he's going to help us out with that. So, John, I really appreciate you stopping by, man.
Yeah, no, it's a pleasure to be here, Brad, and I would advise you to use the term gentleman loosely in reference
Ooh.
To me, but I appreciate the sentiment. So, yeah, happy to be here, and fire away with the questions, and we'll see if we can help you guys out there.
Awesome, man. I appreciate it. Well, you know, one of the things I know guys are – right off the bat, what's crossing their mind is, okay, I mean, I can barely like even convince myself to go even talk to a woman at the bar or wherever. How in the world am I supposed to get women to come approach me? I mean, it just seems so far out. You know, like I say, I can barely do this, and you're telling me that this is possible? I mean, what's the deal with that?
Yeah, it's a very interesting mind shift. And where I actually – kind of got into it where I'm from was my really direct marketing background. As you know, I've been doing direct marketing since 1996. And really the whole thing about direct marketing is that you get the customer to raise their hand, say they're interested, and then come to you and essentially prove to you why you should take their money, as opposed to cold sales prospecting where you go out, knock on doors, beg customers, and that stuff. And so it all has to do with how you're perceived. And so if you see an ad, say, in a magazine about, like, how to get women to approach you, and you raise your hand and you request the free information, and by the time that shows up, you're looking for it, you're eager for it, you're receptive to it, you want it, you've demonstrated interest, you've made a commitment, okay? Whereas if you had some guy chasing you and calling you on the phone out of the blue and saying, hey, you should buy this stuff, you should buy this stuff, well, you'd categorize them as an idiot telemarketer instead of as an expert. Or in the case of the women approach you stuff, a guy who is different. Okay. And I really first kind of got clued onto the power of this when I started going and speaking in public. And there's a lot of ways to get women to approach you. I mean, speaking in public is not the only one by any means, but it is one of them. And so I would go to Toastmasters, and then I started speaking on some of the direct marketing seminars and stuff. And I noticed this commonality, okay, that every time I would go speak, and I was up in front and, you know, the audience and using what people would say as attractive behavior, naughty, funny, sarcastic, you know, that type of stuff, every single time the most attractive woman in the audience, I mean every single time, this is not like there's no exception to this, would come up and talk to me, not because she wanted business advice that I was talking about on, but because she wanted to get to know me and go out with me and spend time with me. And what I noticed about this was that when I was talking with these women, that things were so much easier because she demonstrated interest in me and already convinced herself by coming and approaching me that she was attracted to me. And so instead of going on these pressure-filled, you know, dates and all that type of stuff, what happened was I really started having a really good time, and I realized that creating the conditions and the environment to getting a woman to come up and approach you makes everything a whole lot easier. Because if you're a guy that sees an attractive woman, and look, I am all about approaching women too. I think both skills are very important. There are some situations where she's just not going to approach you. But if you look at that environment, especially if it's like in a bar or club or something, and you go up and say something to her, you're what I call a jag. You're just another guy. You're a guy that's come up, the eighth guy that night with some cheese ball line, and so there's no difference whatsoever, and so she's going to treat you as she would treat another guy. Whereas if she has approached you in the environment that I talked about, you're a different guy all of a sudden, and she treats you as really more like a celebrity or an expert than just another guy. So that's kind of how I got onto this whole thing and really started thinking about it. And, of course, after seeing the stuff and speaking, the question I asked myself is, well, what are other situations that you can use to get women to approach you? And it really becomes kind of a mind shift. How do you position yourself as the expert, as the different guy, so that they perceive you as different and then treat you as different from the beginning, so there's not a lot of friction and resistance and questioning and all that type of stuff?
Gotcha. So basically what you're talking about is creating situations that women would find, I guess, unintimidating, number one, or maybe even a little intimidating, but to shift that so that these situations actually put you in a position where people will want to come talk to you.
Yeah, they'll want to come talk to you. And when somebody makes the emotional commitment, if you're familiar with the commitment and consistency from Cialdini's book, Influence and Psychology of Persuasion, they've made a small commitment that they find you as an attractive person, something they like about you, you're a good person, and so they've come up to talk to you, and now they're going to act consistent with that until you do something to screw it up. You know, now, it's just because they approach you doesn't mean that, you know, things are easy. You still have to be an attractive guy and all that type of stuff and live up to, you know, who they thought they were approaching. But it makes the whole thing much, much easier. And the other very interesting thing about that, for a guy that is kind of starting off with this, when he has a woman that comes up and approaches him, and there's several situations to do it, he's able to build a self-image in a very forgiving environment that makes him an attractive guy. So it's a really weird deal. So what happens is now is you build a self-image and you go out and you walk around, you see a woman and you smile at her and she smiles back and you feel that spark of attraction. And if you say something, she'll say something. And so it really is, women do start approaching you, so to speak, because of that, you know, strong, attractive self-image that you've built. It really is a fascinating thing.
So give me an example of a situation. Let's say most guys, they'd set themselves in, you know, we can use maybe bar club or maybe even at work or something like that. How could a guy, you know, take a given situation that they're in, you know, once a week or even every day, and make this shift? What would be a good example of this?
Well, in a work environment, let's say, and let's set aside for the fact that there are questions about whether you should date employees, coworkers, that type of stuff. But in a work environment, the first thing that I would tell somebody to do was to go and see if you could be like a project manager or a team leader or something that puts you in a position of speaking to people and other people responding to you. Because really in that type of situation, what women respond to is what I call personal authority. And so you're putting yourself into a position of ordained authority, and as long as you live up to it and act like an authority should, and you put some attractive behavior into it, you're naughty, funny, that type of stuff while you're doing it, you make a little bit of eye contact and, you know, hold it a little longer, throw some very light innuendo in there, light innuendo. And there's kind of a vibe between you and the women there. Because of the leadership position or the authoritative position that you've put yourself in, then they will start approaching you. In a bar club situation, it can be different. Although Brad Jackson, who we know, has an interesting Meet Women with Magic, that all of a sudden when you start doing these things and showing stuff like that, you become an instant celebrity within that environment. And really, you put yourself on a podium in front of people, and now they're coming up because they want to see you. And as long as you're, you know, naughty and funny and have attractive behavior while you're doing that, they perceive you as the celebrity. And so when you start to think about how you can create this environment, no matter where you are, you start coming up with all these very interesting things that I call automatic attraction systems. And then women start coming to you, and they start approaching you, and you start kind of building this self-image that's just who you are and what happens, and then it does.
Nice. So as an example, I was just thinking of, I think I read something one time where a guy was talking about how he was a member of a running club or something like that, and he was a very shy type of guy, but I think it might have been taking your advice or some similar advice. I think it was your advice, to be quite honest. He actually said, you know what, I'm going to volunteer to kind of take the reins and be the kind of leader of this running club. And basically all he did was just set up the times and stuff for everybody to come running, maybe send out some interesting advice if he'd find it in the online or something like that to everybody in this little group. And what he said he found was that all of a sudden some of the women started paying more and more attention to him. And as he was moving along, it just seemed like he didn't really have to do anything but just lead and just kind of do, you know, what seemed natural in that situation as far as, you know, helping people out and things like that. And it was actually getting more dates.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I had a very similar story, or maybe that was the same guy or something like that. But, yeah, I remember that, you know, very much. And the guy wasn't much to look at. I mean, he was an older guy. He was not very physically attractive. You know, he didn't do any weight, so he didn't have what you call a runner's body. And I really didn't mm-hmm. think the guy had that much of a personality, to tell you the truth. But mm-hmm. but he found a role, and he was very congruent with the role. And, yeah, that's what started to happen. All these hot, fit, sexy women came and ran. Well, they all wanted to meet the leader, and, you know, he wound up doing pretty darn well. It's a fascinating, you know, way to think about this, because women are biologically oriented to seek out the authoritative and the dominant male. And by putting yourself into a position that kind of connotes that authority on you, they automatically accept it. I mean, it's a fascinating thing. If you go to any seminar and you look at the audience, they can take a guy out and wheel him up on stage and put him up there that people don't know anything about. They got no clue mm-hmm. about this guy, what he does, and he'll go up and he'll talk about something, and they will consider him an expert and take his advice, although they know nothing about him. And it's a very powerful way to think about things. When you put yourself into that position, people automatically begin to make assumptions about you. Now, of course, I believe mm-hmm. that those assumptions should be true, because there's a responsibility in putting yourself up there. And you will be exposed pretty darn quick
exactly.
If not. But the psychological process is what's important. And you know, you probably had the same experience, but I've been in seminars in the back of the room just as an attendee. And the mm-hmm. promoter from the front of the room will introduce, oh, there's an important guy in the audience, this guy John Hollins, you should get to know him, blah, blah, blah. And I'll stand up, and when they break, everybody now wants to come around and talk to me, just because the guy up front said I was somebody important. Mm-hmm. And I may not be. I may be a complete idiot. But they still come up and treat you as that, because you've had endorsement for authority and you've had authority transferred to you. So when you start thinking about it in those terms, your whole mind really begins to shift, and you begin to see how women react to you when you put yourself in that type of position, and it's vastly different from how they would react to you if you just went up and talked to them. I mean, to carry that example further, if I was in, you know, just an attendee sitting in the audience, and I saw an attractive woman, and I went up to her to talk to her a minute before I was introduced, she'd treat me one way. A minute later, mm-hmm. after I was introduced, she'd treat me completely differently. Mm-hmm. So that's really the mindset that you want to adopt when you really know the power of putting yourself in that type of position.
Yeah, I can totally agree with that. You know, it always seems to me that that people are looking, they need shortcuts in order to decide who you are and things like that. I mean, it's almost like they can't really make up their mind of who you are, so they need a shortcut. They need somebody to give them a clue as to who you are and what you're doing. Let's say, I mean, you know, you and I attend seminars and things like that, and lots of times in these hotels, there are two different seminars going on. One might be in a small room, one might be in a big room, and the guy in the small room might know more than the guy in the big room, but the sheer fact of the matter, the guy's in the big room, you're going to walk in the big room.
Sure.
Yeah, and
there's more people.
Yeah, I mean, so you just naturally assume that. So I guess one of the things I wanted to ask you about, really, because, you know, you brought up the personal authority thing, and I really think this is important for guys. And we've kind of dug into it a little bit, you know, talking about, you know, with the running guy and some stuff like that. But I think gentlemen are thinking that they have to do this complete overhaul of themselves in order to attract women. And from what I'm hearing from you, it's really not that so much. It's just maybe little tweaks in your personal life that you can take charge of.
Well, you're absolutely right. Yeah.
Okay.
And it is a big fear that when guys first discover that this attraction stuff is a learnable skill, the first thing that they want to say is, well, I don't want to change who I am. I don't want to become one of those manipulative guys and hurt women and be an actor and all this type of stuff. And you don't have mm-hmm. to do that. The only thing really that you have to do is that you have to examine yourself, you have to find your own attractive qualities, and you amplify your own attractive qualities that already exist, and you suppress your unattractive qualities and behaviors. And mm-hmm. and oftentimes it's very interesting. You may have seen my video that I got when people joined my list. It's a 40-minute video about how to get rid of your attraction-killing behaviors. But oftentimes, if a guy just gets rid of those behaviors that are killing attraction, doesn't add any attraction-creating behaviors, just gets rid of those, Then he all of a sudden finds that women respond to him completely differently. And I'll give you an example of something like that.
Okay.
Because I went through this whole process myself. Because a lot of us come from a very socially conditioned environment. There's a certain way that we're supposed to treat women, and you find that doesn't work in the real world. But then you start making a few minor tweaks like this to what does work, and you get tremendous results. And so what I always used to think was, you know, if you wanted to, let's say, go on a date or just go somewhere with a woman you're seeing or something, is you ask her, well, where do you want to go? You know, just being respectful. Where do you want to go? What do you want to do? Well, women don't like that because they want to look to you as the man to lead. And so the thing that you start saying is, hey, I got an idea. I kind of feel like going and getting a steak tonight. Why don't you come with me? It's a complete shift. The language is almost the same. But now you're leading. And if she doesn't want to get a steak, she says, nah, I don't think I'm in the mood. All right, yeah, you're not in the mood for steak. Let's go get some seafood. I'm in the mood to go out. Let's, you know, let's go. Okay, let's do that. And so that now, just with a very subtle shift in giving more of a directive than asking a question, you're fulfilling the role that she wants you to fulfill. And any man can do that. That's no change in personality in any way, shape, or form. It's just a change in language. But what you find is, as you start doing that type of stuff, you're like, hey, wait a second, this feels natural to me. It feels like what I should be doing as a man. And then you kind of step into the role that you should have been all along, and how women respond to you is dramatically different. So it's little things like that, or the big things, you know, like going and speaking in public. But yeah, even very small minor tweaks to personality like that, and not even to personality, just amplifying existing attractive behaviors and getting rid of unattractive ones, can produce enormous results.
Awesome. I am so glad you brought that up, because that is something that I actually talked about in a newsletter the other day, talking about the difference between declaring versus asking. And I've actually done this. I performed a little experiment. It was so funny because I heard about this. This was a couple of years ago. And this was kind of one of the things I figured out on my own. But somebody actually brought it up into the light. And I was like, you know, I kind of do that. I wonder if it's true. So actually, you know, this is when I was single. I would call I'd call one girl, and I'd do the thing you were saying. I would say, hey, you know what? You got anything going on tonight? No. What you got going on? Well, I was thinking about going down to whatever. You know, how about you come with me? I'll pick you up at 7. You know, just something like that. And it was always like, okay, yeah, great. You know, and then as the night would go on, you would just kind of say, you know what? I'm kind of feeling like getting a steak. You up for it? Just something. I mean, just kind of direct and to the point. And I found the response was just killer, right? And the funny thing about it is that guys would be, you know, I've heard guys say, well, what about if you're going to ask her to do something she doesn't want to do, like really doesn't want to do? Well, that's okay, because she'll tell you.
Yeah, okay.
And then you could say, she'll just say, you know, I just really hate that. I'm like, not a big deal, you know. How about this? This sounds cool. So I went that direction with a couple of women, and then I did the complete opposite, where I called a girl up and I'd be like, hey, what are you doing tonight? And she'd be like, nah, nothing. What are you doing? I don't know. You want to do something? Maybe. Oh, okay. Well, what do you want to do? You know, that whole back and forth, what do you want to do scenario? And it was so funny, because you could hear on the other end of the line her excitement from hearing from you just bottom out. And it was almost at the end of the call, it was submission.
and you know, the thing about that is interesting that you bring up is that in the first role, you're a different guy, okay? And because most guys don't do that. They don't take the lead. And so now you put yourself into a different category by different behavior. And it's a category that women are just dying for men to step into. And the other one, where it's the more what do you want to do type of stuff, you're acting like every other guy that she's talked to, and she knows the results are going to happen with every other guy. And so you stick yourself into that category, and it's going to kill the attraction. Women think about men in categories, and once you get stuck in one category, it's really hard to get out of. I mean, you can go from the attractive man category to the no attraction to friends category pretty darn quick, but you ain't going from friends category to the attractive man category. And it's subtle behaviors like that and thinking about interactions like that that allow you to insert yourself into the proper category with women so that they treat you like you want to be treated. I mean, I always look to be what I call the attractive man category, so that they treat me as an expert, as a celebrity, or something like that, and then maintain that category, and you can go from wherever you want from there. But if you slip into one of the other ones, you're not getting back in that category.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's such a simple shift that any guy can do, so I like that a lot. The other thing you brought up that was really interesting was talking about amplifying and suppressing. So it sounds like to me that you believe a lot in the same regards as we do as far as health and fitness, is in that there's a lot of addition by subtraction that you can do, and that for a lot of guys it's not necessarily having to learn more stuff and pile more junk and techniques and all this stuff. It's maybe taking away some of the stuff that you're already doing that's really going to have the power.
Yeah, well, listen, health and fitness is a great analogy. I'm a very big health and fitness guy myself. And I'll just give you an example in that category of removing, you know, a behavior that you know, that makes you fat. And, you know, I'm a guy that has a metabolism that I put on a lot of muscle fast, but I can also put on a lot of fat fast. So I really have to be very, very careful and disciplined about what I eat, no matter how much I exercise. Well, you know, we both know that having a small glass of red wine is good for you. But I also happen to know with me that if I have one of those things, especially before I go to bed, I'm going to get fat. I'm going to. I mean, that is a scientifically proven fact with me. Proved it many times. And so occasionally I'll slip into that behavior, say, well, I'm getting a little chubby, and then I'll just remove that behavior, and it's the dangest thing. You'll watch the fat melt off and reset. And the analogy is exactly the same with attraction. You remove one of those attraction-killing behaviors, and then all of a sudden women begin to treat you that much more differently. It's a very good mindset to have, too, because if you're not getting the results you want, the first thing you do is a self-analysis and say, what's all the things that are killing attraction with women? And you do a self-analysis. A lot of times you'll find one, and then you can begin to go to work on some of the, you know, learning the attractive behaviors that can really turbocharge your results.
Mm-hmm. So what are a couple of the other attractive behaviors that you would mention that, you know, most guys that you run into, if they just would remove this behavior, it would be night and day?
Well, one of the biggest behaviors is what I would call the nice guy behavior. And because all of us, like, you know, you hear a woman say, it's a funny thing, women and men communicate so differently. Women say, I just want to meet a nice guy. Okay. What nice guy means to women and nice guy means to men are two different things. I mean, nice guy to men means, oh, you should, you know, be respectful is not a very good word, but you should kiss her butt, you should put her on a pedestal, you should care about her feelings, you should supplicate to her, you know, you should treat her like a queen, all that type of stuff. And hey, I used to do all that. You know, I was in college and stuff. You know, I'd see all these guys that were jerks and all these women that were attractive. So I never wanted to be a jerk like that. I'm a nice guy. I won't treat women like that at all. But they just weren't attracted to me. And and so that doesn't mean that you become a jerk, but you distill out and you look at the behaviors that the jerks do to women that creates the attraction. And so you'll see there's a lot of sexual innuendo, okay, which nice guys don't do. There's a lot of teasing and playfulness. There's a lot more of telling them how great you are instead of how great they are. And so that you're removing all these behaviors that put you into the nice guy category that is an absolute deadly attraction killer. If you want a guy that does this stuff pretty well, it's go turn on Family Jewels and watch Gene Simmons. And Gene even takes it overboard. But if you listen, you know, I've met him in person at the Glaser Kennedy Info Summit a few years ago. And if you meet him in person, the first thing he does is comes up to you and says, it's nice to meet me, isn't it? And he sits down and smiles. You're like, what the heck? Well, no nice guy would ever say anything like that.
Right.
I mean, that's arrogant. It's challenging. I must get to know him. You know, so it's that really is kind of another way to think about it, is what are those subtle behaviors that add up, you know, to attractive behavior that you can implement that are also getting rid of other behaviors? Because if I'm a guy that comes up and I'm talking to a woman, I say, well, it's, you know, it's nice to be around me, isn't it? I mean, you're lucky to have a man like me in your life. Well, no nice guy would ever say that. And so they notice the absence of the unattractive behavior in addition to the attractive behavior, and it puts you into the proper category, and it cements you. And so that's another example to kind of keep in mind that I think every guy can relate to, because I think we're all trained, except for a few guys that just have this natural intelligence and are good with women. But we're all trained to be nice guys, and we have to unlearn that type of behavior if we want to get consistent results.
Right. Yeah, it's like you'll hear this a lot. One of the fun things to do, and any guy can do it. Any guy can do it. I mean, if you're going out with a woman, you're gonna drink, or most guys are gonna drink, and you know at some point she's gonna ask you if you want another beer, and obviously, what can you say? It's not a yes or no answer. It's a why? Are you trying to get me drunk so you could take me home? No way. I mean, it's going to take a lot more than one for that to happen tonight. You know, stuff like that. Just very simple, you know, something thrown into a yes or no question like that, that any guy can do. And it's fun. Go ahead.
What you're talking about there is something, I'm glad you brought it up, because it really is a very important, attractive behavior. And that is layering in innuendo within conversation, and so that there's sexual overtones there, but there's dual meaning. And when you get really good at that, that's when women really respond to you. And so stuff like that, you're just kind of putting it in there, and you're like, you know, and you're setting yourself up as the attractive guy that she's chasing you to. And just like you said, this, you know, hey, it's going to take a lot more than that to get you to go home with me. And what kind of guy do you think I am? It's three or four more before you even think about that. No nice guy would ever say that. And so now you're communicating with her as the opposite of the nice guy, and you're communicating with her on a sexual energy level, which most nice guys, the reason they're nice guys, they shut that side of themselves off with women, and women feel that, oh, this is a nice, fun, pleasant guy, but there's no chemistry between us. Mm-hmm. And that's really what that behavior does, is it creates chemistry. What women call chemistry, that internal feeling that flicks on, that lets them know that, hey, I'm attracted to this guy. And women make decisions about men based on that internal feeling. I mean, I was a woman I went out with a month or so ago, just on a dinner date, and we were hanging out, and I was talking about business and all that stuff, and I forgot to do that shit. Well, she came right out and told me. And she knew what business I'm in. She says, I'm just really not feeling it. And I was like, oh! And I went back and I knew immediately. I said, I screwed this up, I screwed that up, I screwed that up, I screwed that up.
Yep.
And that was that. We're not going back. But yeah, I mean, that innuendo that creates a feeling of chemistry so that she has the internal feelings that allow her to make those decisions about you is vitally important. It's something any guy can do. It's fun. You get good at it pretty quick. It's non-threatening because you always get a good laugh out of it, but it's vitally important.
Yeah. The best thing for me is that you always, I would say 90% of the time when you're playing around like that, if she is anywhere near you, you're going to get the arm punch or some type of quote-unquote love tap. And once that happens, it's on. You know it.
Yeah.
So that's kind of always my thing is how can I bait somebody to kind of give me one of those hits or something like that, or like a slap on the shoulder or whatever, because then you know, okay, it's working. You know, it's time to push the envelope a little bit. So I like that.
Yeah, in fact, that was what I wrote my last newsletter about. Actually, was just about that was triggering a woman's signaling mechanism, that those feelings come on and you get her to start doing the things that to her let her know that she's with an attractive guy, because women are rarely going to come right out and say, I want to do all kinds of wicked and evil things to you. They're going to use very subtle signals to see if you pick up on that. And the light touch or the squeezing of the arm or something like that is a guidepost to let you know that, hey, I am interested now, and you got to man up and take the next step. It's a very important thing. It's another great way to think about it. How do I trigger that signaling mechanism instead of trying to lay some cheese ball line on her or something like that?
Yeah, that's awesome too, you know, as far as manning up and taking the next step, because, you know, a lot of guys have problems as far as knowing what to do, I guess you could say, in sequence. It's like, okay, well, you know, we went out, we had a good time, and now it's time to kiss her, or now it's time to take it to the next level. I mean, you know, let me back this up before I even say this. Do you think guys are just making it too hard on themselves by second-guessing every single thing that they do?
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. And the other thing about that is not only if they have that little second-guessing mechanism going on there, that's a little bit of doubt in there, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I know you know this, but one of the best analogies I ever heard was you got to think about the woman in front of you is feeling what you're feeling inside, except 10 times greater, okay? And so if you're feeling doubt inside you, she's feeling doubt inside her like 10 times greater too. And she knows that you're second-guessing yourself, and men with authority don't second-guess themselves. And so it's a big turnoff because it attenuates and kills the chemistry. And so if you're just out, if you're in the moment, if you're flowing, if you're doing things, you know, and she's following right along, there's this flow that happens, and she feels wonderful. There's, you know, anybody that's ever read a romance novel or seen one or chick flick or something like that knows that women use the term "sweep me off my feet." And when you think about that, that's, you know, the psychological process and chain of states that they go through. Well, they're being led and pulled through that by a strong authoritative man. And so that's what they respond to. And so, yeah, any guy that starts second-guessing himself about this and that and that, you know, really injects doubt into the situation, and doubt is an attraction killer. I've proven that many times.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. So we're going to go back to this whole next step thing. Let's talk about some things. Let's say a guy is, you know, he's been going throughout the night, laying on the innuendo and things like that, and he's getting this, he's wondering if it's time to give her a kiss or not, or whatever. I mean, for me, if I've ever got the inkling, I've just kind of always went for it. I mean, are there any things that, you know, if guys just need this check, I guess you could say, like they could just check this thing off and say, all right, if I could just do this as a test, and if she goes for it, then I should go for it. And if she doesn't, then that means, she's probably not. Is there anything like that that you have?
Well, yeah and no. A long time ago, I got advice from a guy that was naturally pretty good with women. And he didn't understand any of this stuff, but he was pretty good. And he said, look, here's my philosophy. When in doubt, go for it. Just like And I can think of maybe only one time when I went for it and didn't get a good response. Women like to kiss men. They like men who powerfully and congruently kiss them. They don't like to initiate it. They like to be kissed. I mean, it's not that stupid stuff you do out of the blue, but if you've gone through the evening or even a little bit of a period of time where the innuendo's good, she's laughing and responding to you, she's reciprocating touch, she's touched you, then she's looking forward for you to kiss her. And she's going to be disappointed if you don't. So, I mean... Mm-hmm. It's you just kiss her, and you know that's just what men do with women, and so you get to that point soon where it just becomes second nature. I'm just giving her a kiss, and if she doesn't like it, then she'll let you know. But if you've gone through that point where the innuendo's flowing, and she's reciprocating touch and she's laughing and she's engaged, then she is not going to resist that, and in fact, she's going to resent you at the end of the night if you don't do it or before, because you wasted her time. Okay.
Right.
And so that's the important thing to keep in mind. Guys get way too caught up in this, should I kiss her, should I not type of stuff. Women like to be kissed by men, and that's just the God's honest truth. So, you know, like go back to the old movies and stuff from the 40s and 50s and 60s when men were men, and you know they kissed women. Well, women still love that type of stuff, and they rarely get it today.
Yeah, very true. You know, the other thing that just kind of came up in mind when you were talking about if you don't, you know, she's going to resent you. I mean, she's also going to have other things come across her mind as well, both about herself because, you know, a lot of women have very fragile egos, number one. Number two, she's going to – I got a funny story about maybe I'll tell it another time, but, you know, maybe she'll think that you're gay.
Yeah.
You know, I've actually had that happen to me, which is hilarious. And the funny thing about it wasn't because I didn't – it wasn't because I couldn't kiss her, because it just wasn't there for me or whatever.
Yeah.
And so I didn't. Hey. I just kind of went through the night, and she was like, right. Are you going to kiss me or are you gay? But that's really interesting. That's interesting stuff. So basically, when in doubt, go for it. I like that. And the other thing I guess you could say is how can you get guys to get out of their own head?
Well, the way that you get guys to get out of their own head is I kind of learned this. I mean, if you paid attention to my musings for a while, that I'm a big Bill Parcells fan. Been a fan of Bill Parcells for a long time. When he was coach of the Cowboys, I listened to all his press conferences. And what Parcells always said was fascinating stuff. And you wouldn't think that what he had to say applied to attraction, but everything he had to say applied to attraction because it's just another success endeavor. is he said that confidence comes from demonstrated ability, okay? And confidence allows you to play fast, all right? And and so if you want to be confident, and women say, I want a confident man, then the first thing that you have to do is you have to demonstrate your ability, okay? And the way that you begin to demonstrate your ability is, I mean, you train and learn the skills and read and study and all that stuff. But what you do is you start with the absolute lowest common denominator that's going to give you the best chance of success. And so a guy that is shy, has not had good luck with women, who's got a self-image that he's unattractive, it ain't a good idea to wheel him out in front of a bunch of people and get him to speak and have women come up and talk to him, because he's going to be scared.
Right.
But what you can get the guy to do is say, look, this is a learnable skill. You need to adopt the belief that it's a learnable skill. And like any skill, it's going to take you a little while. Some guys learn it faster than others. And so what I tell them is, look, you can smile at a woman, okay? And so what I want you to do is go out into the world, and every time you see a woman, look her right in the eye and smile what I call the naughty boy smile. And it'll take you a little bit of time to get it right, but it's kind of a smirk. You're transmitting to her that, hey, I'm an attractive man. I might be interested in you. It's kind of a cocky, brash, but it's just a transmission. Just looking her in the eye, and you're smiling at her. And the only thing you want to do is get her to smile back. Okay? And almost all of them will. And the reason is there's a it's called the mirror effect. It's a psychological technique that people will duplicate the expression on your face. But a woman, so when a guy goes and does that, he's never had women smile back at him in his life. So all of a sudden, he's like, well, wait a second. Women are smiling at me consistently. I'm a guy that can get women to smile. So it's the precursor to attraction. Because you can't do that, you can't attract women. And so it's the precursor to attraction. So, okay, we've demonstrated to ourselves that we have the ability to do that. Well, what's the next step? Well, maybe I'll actually talk to a woman now and say something to her. And so I'm not a big guy of lines or anything like that. But if something, you know, if I don't have anything that comes up to say within the situation, you can always do that and say, well, hey, what are you smiling about? And she's smiling. She can't deny that. There's something she's smiling about. And so she'll laugh and look at you, and you'll have an answer. And so you can do that and without any fear of rejection. And so now you've built the second step that, hey, you're not only a guy that can get women to smile to you, you can actually get them to talk to you. And so then you begin to build on this foundation up until you become a really attractive guy. And you, because you demonstrate your ability along the way, you build the confidence that comes with it, and then all of a sudden you find out that, geez, you've strung all these, you know, little pieces together, and now you're an attractive guy. And it's just what happens to you when you go out in the world. You just attract women.
Yeah, I mean, but the other thing, too, is that you get them to smile, and let's say, you smile and she smiles back. I mean, well, then why not just go talk to her then?
Sure.
I mean, she's obviously smiled at it. That means she's open to some type of, she's already communicated with you some, so
sure.
You might as well.
Yeah.
One of the things I do, and you know, this may be a little different for me because I might be in a little bit different area than some guys. But for me, I've always found it's a lot easier if there's no direct intent in the interaction.
Oh, absolutely.
So, because I don't have any idea who this person is. I mean, she might be fine. You know, fine as hell, she might be the best-looking woman ever, but I know that a lot of women have beauty in all the wrong places, so I can't assume that the rest of her is going to be good. So, I just go up and just meet her, just to meet her and see what's going on. And then if there's some attraction going on, there'll be a hook point or whatever that you can kind of run with. But it's like, for me, I have no approach anxiety because I don't know what I'm – you know what I'm saying? I don't have a specific intent right off the bat. I'm just kind of curious.
Well, that's a real important process you just described. Very important, because what it does is it flips the frame around. Most women like that are used to evaluating and testing men because they show up and men throw themselves at them. Now all of a sudden you've just come up as a guy that really isn't interested in anything else other than just saying hi, and you're the one evaluating her all of a sudden. She can feel that inside, and then all of a sudden you put yourself into a different category of, well, this guy must be different because he's not falling all over me. And if he's not falling all over me, well, he must have something other men don't. I must know what it is. And by that mental process and that act alone, you can begin to lay the groundwork for future attraction. And you've also built the mindset that now you're not someone who is chosen. you're the guy that's doing the choosing, and they got to live up to what you want instead of the other way around.
Yeah, very strong. I like to think about confidence, meaning you can play fast, because I fully agree with that. It's interesting how quick you can, once you start understanding and kind of getting in the moment with people and not getting in your head, I mean, things just kind of naturally happen. So I like that a lot. What do you think about this? I had a woman tell me this one time. We were talking, it was last year when I was out in the Los Angeles at a seminar, and she was saying something about that women can tell if a man is highly sexed or not. So what do you think about that?
Oh, I think it's absolutely true. And look, you as a man can sit down and think about a woman that you've met that just gives off that strong sexual vibe and sexual energy. And any guy can think about women that are physically beautiful, that would be model quality, that have your attributes in all the right places, that are just dead inside. And you're like, this just doesn't happen here. And then maybe you meet a woman who is pretty, but she doesn't quite have those attributes, but oh my God in heaven, you can feel her from across the room. And and it's the same thing with women. They can feel that vibe that comes off of you as a confident man, and that's something that you can actually build up as you get, you know, more in tune with innuendo, as you think of yourself more as a very attractive man. Women can feel that vibe, and then they'll start approaching you. And so, yeah, you want to build that up. You know, another corollary to building that up is, you know, your area of physical fitness. I mean, look, you know, that increases your testosterone, it increases your aggression, and hey, when you're a guy that you know that looks good and you've earned your way toward looking good, and that you look good in clothes, and that you look better than all the other guys out there, because hey, I'm a 38-year-old man. You know, I look a heck of a lot better than every other 38-year-old guy out there. And I'm in pretty darn good shape with a lot of muscle mass on there. And so that also, too, contributes to that. And so when you add all of those things together, you literally can walk in a room, just look around, smile, look at a woman, and she'll pick up on that vibe instantly. And she'll also notice that other guys there do not have it.
Yeah, that's
so, yeah, I'd agree with her 100%, and it's something that I've you know, made it a point to craft within myself, and it's something that you can learn to do. Some guys more than others, certainly, but I think every man has a capability.
Right, yeah, that's awesome. It's kind of one of those things. Actually, I talked to Alex Allman about it last week, and in our call, he deals a lot in sex and things like that, and just what you kind of said, and it kind of even goes into sex to a degree, but if you've got yourself in shape, and this is why I like physical fitness, because to me, I think it's the number one inner game changer a guy can have, because people see it, they can react to it, you know, on a weekly basis. Hey, you're changing, you look good, stuff like that. But the other thing you know is that when it comes time to get in the sack, she has not rubbed on anybody like you in a very long time. And you can have confidence in you and have that sly smile and that naughty grin, knowing that. I mean, not thinking it, but knowing it.
Yep.
And that can take you a long way.
Yeah, well, I'll make a quick comment about physical fitness in relation to it. And, you know, and if you learn the scale of attraction, yeah, looks, age, income don't matter. But if you have looks, they don't hurt, especially if you have physical fitness. And one thing I always tell guys, you know, who are just maybe they're out of shape, they have had no interaction with women in a long time, they're very shy, is listen. The best way to demonstrate to yourself that you can change your mind and body is by getting physically fit, because it's an easy process. You can see it on a week-to-week basis, and you prove to yourself that you can learn a skill of physical fitness. And once you've proven to yourself and adopted the belief that you can learn a skill and change your body, then it's no great leap to know that you can learn the skill of attraction just like you learn the skill of fitness. So I think it's the anchor for, you know, a lot of stuff here.
Yeah, I agree. And the other thing, too, about it that I found out is that women that are physically fit respond to a guy that's physically fit.
Yeah.
I mean, as far as that like and like. So if you want the girl who's got the rocked out body and stuff like that, I mean, she can appreciate the guy that has that more than, you know, the woman that's not. So if that's what you're going after, I mean, obviously that's kind of a direction you're probably going to want to go.
Sure. Sure.
Yeah. So you talked about you're talking a lot about being an attractive male, and I know a lot of guys right now are thinking that it has to do with, you know, some things about physical fitness, but more face and things like that. And for me, I look at attraction as kind of like Lego blocks, where there's like this threshold that makes you attractive, but there's like these little, there's all these different pieces that can get you up to that level to be an attractive person. Now, like for me, physical fitness is one that I can bank on. I mean, I'm probably a little above average looking. I can bank on that, and also I can talk, because just in the past I've talked to literally thousands of people face to face, just doing what I used to do. So I kind of get that. So that kind of builds up for me. But for other people, there might be different attributes that they have that would build up to that kind of same attractiveness level. That's kind of the way I look at it. What's kind of your perspective on an attractive man and how different guys can get to that same spot?
Well, it's a very good point you bring up, because there is no – everybody wants the one magic line, the one magic thing that makes you attractive. There's no, you know, one of those things. You know, the analogy in fitness is, hey, look, there's not one thing out there that's going to get you ripped and in shape. You know, I can't give you one thing that's going to make you lose 5 pounds, but I can give you five ways to lose 1 pound, okay? And so you add all that stuff up. And yeah, absolutely, it's the same way in attraction, and it's understanding what it is that women respond to, understanding that they make decisions about men based on their internal feelings, and then taking an inventory of what you have already available and amplifying those things that you're comfortable with and stacking them on each other. I mean, for me, like you, it's physical fitness. It's also leadership abilities that I learned in the military. It's my language skills and innuendo skills that I've built up. It's the fact that I've gone and spoken, you know, in public. It's the fact that I've declared myself an expert on attraction. And so, yeah, you add all of these things up, and the older you get, the more you add on. And it creates this self-image and this belief set that you're a very attractive man, and that's confirmed by your results out in the real world. The interesting thing that happens is, as you get older, and if you're a single guy, even if you're in a relationship, but you maintain and develop this skill, what women begin to notice is that in contrast to other men, you stand out like a sore thumb because of all these things you've stacked on each other, mm-hmm. and the absence of those things in other guys. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think that absolutely it is a stacking of all these small little things that add up to one big thing.
Right. I'm going to bring this up because I talked about it the other day, because I gave an example in this past seminar. I was at the Early Rise seminar with Michael Masterson and those guys. I talked to him about some of the stuff. It was really weird, the conversations we got into at the pool. But
I'll bet.
But one of the things – say what?
I'll bet.
Yeah, he's a funny cat. But the thing that I understand now more than ever is that being able to attract women isn't necessary. It's a great skill to have on a personal level, but it's also a great skill to have on a professional level, on a networking level, mm-hmm. because everybody wants to hang out with a guy that can get women.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there's another interesting thing about that. One thing I've always taught is that attraction is not just for dating and relationships. Especially in business nowadays, where you're going to be dealing with women face-to-face, and you may never have any romantic interest in them, but if you're a guy that, when you're talking with a woman on the phone who's a vendor, a potential business partner, a medium in person, if you're a funny, naughty, attractive guy with light innuendo that communicates with her just on an attraction level, but gives her just a small feeling of attraction, a little gift of attraction every day, she's going to treat you vastly differently than Joe Snuffy, who just called up and hollered and screamed was a pain in the ass. And, mm-hmm. and you know, I can have measurable, documented business success of being able to get information or get things done or get through to particular places because the women that I've talked to, I've made them feel just a little bit of attraction. There are things they will do for an attractive guy that they won't do for an unattractive guy. And the thing that you brought up is absolutely true. I mean, there just is – When you're a guy that has cracked this code of attracting women, and guys who don't get that it's a learnable skill think that it's somehow magic, mm-hmm. they connote that you have magic and mysterious powers, and you are therefore a wizard. And everyone wants to hang around the wizard and see if he's going to throw out a little bit of his magic to them. And so, yeah, mm-hmm. it happens. Sure, there's a lot of guys that come up and, you know, oh, you're the guy that teaches that, and they're just entranced by it. And so, yeah, on a professional level, it's, you know, a very useful thing to do. And, yeah, I've had the same thing happen.
Yeah, it's really weird. I remember, and what's funny to me is that I remember this like it was yesterday. I was at the bar at one of these seminars. This was probably, I don't know, maybe 9 months ago. And I was talking to this gentleman, and we were just talking business or whatever, and the waitress came up to take our drink order. And I was just having fun with her, and I was just talking to her. I mean, just being me and just being light, flirty, things like that. I mean, nothing that you or I would consider serious. But when she left, she was laughing and having a good time and stuff like that. And the guy looks at me, and he goes, "How did you do that?" And I was like, "Well, what do you mean, how did I do that?" He goes, "You, like, talk to her, man." I was like, "So?" So it was, to me, it was strange because I was kind of getting the feeling that more and more guys, that's kind of on the level that they were on, that even some of the basic, what I would consider some of the basic stuff, just kind of the basic banter, was missing.
Yeah, and guys don't, I mean, you know, because, you know, a lot of the social conditioning and stuff, he's, well, that's really bad. That's some sexual harassment or something. Women are not sexual creatures. And so they have a lot of the social programming in their head, and they deliberately hold it back. And that, you know, when you just start kind of letting it out, you know, a lot of these guys are amazed, and they think it's some kind of, you know, amazing skill or wizardry that you came up with, and really it's just being who you've made yourself to be, and it's very effective. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, and you're talking about like light, like sexual innuendo and things like that. I mean, I can already tell that, you know, some guys listening to this may want to take it to the extreme. Kind of give some examples of what you would consider light innuendo really quickly.
Well, light innuendo is like, you know, some of the stuff that you mentioned. It's not overtly sexual stuff. You're not using overtly sexual words or anything like that. It just kind of hints at it. And so her mind can go two different ways. And it's something that it's light and it's funny and she can accept. But just like you said, the idea of another beer, well, you know, it's going to take you more than that to, you know, get me drunk and mm-hmm. have your way with me. What kind of guy do you think I am? And so that's mm-hmm. light. That's funny. It's, you know, it's tinged with sexuality, but it's not overtly sexual. And then once you get a positive response to that, what you can do is you can ramp it up a bit more, a bit more, a bit more. But, you know, it's sometimes women like you can get really dirty with it, and sometimes you like when you're very subtle with it. It just is, you know, kind of a mm-hmm. personal thing. But, yeah, something like you just mentioned is absolutely the right way to start. And then you get, you know, a little more overt, a little more overt, and see where she responds. And there's some women that, you know, there's a point they won't respond to about that. There's some women there's no point. And so you just kind of get to pick up on what each individual woman responds to. And calibrate the innuendo there.
Right. What some of the things that the guys often ask me is, you know, they may not have, okay, here's where it's going. There are a lot of guys out there that are very good at attracting women and getting first dates and even maybe sleeping with a woman for the first time, but they can't draw out, you know, they can't get the, you know, after the first time, you know, it's kind of over. And to me, that's even worse. I mean, yep. If you can't get a girl to go on a second date or actually have sex with you the second time, I mean, it's almost like you might as well have not even had the first one. And to me, I feel like they're like totally, maybe, I'm not going to say total, but maybe vastly different skills. So kind of maybe go into some of that comfort level or some of the things that guys cannot trip up on, I guess you could say.
It's a really interesting deal because there's a couple of things that you brought up there that should probably be addressed. I mean, the guy that's able to go out, meet a woman, sleep with her, but she doesn't call him back. He put himself into a category, just kind of a fun party boy that she's going to have a good time with, and that's that. And, you know, if you're a rock and roll type of guy and you're, you know, at that point in your life, nothing wrong with that. Go out, have a good time, you know, experience the world. But if you're a guy that wants something more and really is out there because you want a girlfriend or a serious relationship, and in the end, most men do, then you have to approach it from a little bit of a different angle. And what I mean is that what women respond to with the guy they want to be with is they respond to really like a multifaceted personality. So if you just want to go out and have fun with women, you can be the naughty, funny, attractive guy, but that's all you are. And that's all they'll treat you as. And you can have a lot of good times and stuff, but you're going to get a lot of things that end pretty quickly because she stuck you into the category of this is all there is. And so if you're going out with a woman, you have to have the attractive behavior there. That has got to be there because if she doesn't feel chemistry, it's going nowhere. But then what you also want to do, I call it switching, is you also want to switch over and let her know that you have another side to you, what I would call a business side, a much more serious side, to you, where there's things that you take very seriously, there's goals you have, there's accomplishments you have, you're passionate about things. And so that she begins to recognize, she says, hey, this man has a little bit of stature here. And so she begins to think about it in terms of, hey, not only is he attractive, he's also got these other qualities, these stable, lasting qualities too. This is a guy I really need to spend more time with and get to know better. And so what I'll do is switch between the two things. And so I may say you got some innuendo like that, and we're laughing funny. Then I'll switch and talk about something, you know, kind of serious or that's important to me, or tell a story about one time when I was in the Navy and we did this and this and that. And then I'll go back to innuendo. And so that you're switching both sides of your personality around, showing her that, yeah, you can be a fun, attractive, naughty little boy and make her feel all kinds of wonderful things. But you also have a very serious man side to you that leads to stability of the relationship that she would like to have, and so that she can feel emotional protection and security around you. And so bringing that side out that lets her experience that, that's what will get you down the road to a long-term relationship. Got to have the attractive stuff there too, but it's a combination of those.
Yeah, you know, and it's funny you say that because it seems like a lot of guys, once they attract the woman and ensnare her, so to say, they lose all the attractive stuff. And the reason I say that is because I look at my dad now whenever I go home, and it's funny because he still to this day still flirts with my mom like crazy, but I very rarely see that in other couples and things like that. And I know, and she laughs and tells him to quit it and stuff like that, but I know she likes it, and so it's kind of funny, you know, that stuff quits. And the other thing that was really interesting, I heard some, I think it might be Christian Hudson said this, and you know who he is, he's friends of ours as well. He said, it might have been him, it might have been somebody else, but he was saying that he was actually hanging out with a girl one time, and she was really good looking or whatever, and another girl happened to walk by and said something like, honey, just don't let him fool you like he fooled me.
Yeah.
I was like, wow.
Yep. Absence of character there. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's kind of one of those hollow things, because I know guys are out there right now and they're looking for the quick fixes. They're looking for the lines and things like that. And the thing that bothers me about, you know, kind of that side of things, and you've probably got, and I know you've got a lot more experience in this because you actually deal with guys on a level that I don't. But what I've found is that a lot of the behaviors and things that are being encouraged actually will not only, you know, make you think of women in a different light, maybe even start to hate women,
yeah.
But they'll actually maybe possibly lower your own self-esteem too.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely, because what you're talking about some of those behaviors are is that they begin to objectify women because they start referring to them with all these crazy names and all that garbage. And so it kind of removes the connection, and you don't think that, hey, I'm sitting here talking to a real, live, living, breathing woman with feelings and stuff that I can actually hurt her if I'm not careful here. Mm-hmm. And so it kind of removes the connection between the two of them. And a lot of those behaviors don't have anything to do with attractive women. Those are guys that want to go out and, you know, they want to be the tallest midget. I mean, they want to have a story to come back about their latest number clothes to, you know, their other guys that couldn't do anything. And so they're all abused in high school. And so really what they want to do is they just, it's a way for them to relieve their inadequacy. Okay, their perceived inadequacy. It's nothing to do with attracting women in any way, shape, or form. And I think what you really do have to realize there is that if you're a man that wants a girlfriend, even a woman you're casually dating in a long-term relationship, is that you have very much a leadership responsibility there. And that means that providing emotional protection and security, you're being careful not to hurt her feelings or tell her things that you don't mean until you're ready, and so that you're leading along the way and taking responsibility for her outcome. And that really does put you into a completely different category of man, because if you're going to be in a long-term relationship, see, a lot of guys don't think about, well, what do you do once you get the woman? They're just all right, getting her. Mm-hmm. Once you get her, that ain't no end, buddy. That's a beginning. And it's an awesome responsibility that you have to consider. and it's interesting what you said about, you know, your father and mother and that type of stuff, because a lot of most guys screwed up is they're like, well, I got it, or I can quit doing all these attractive behaviors and that. And she's like, well, I thought I was going to be with him, and there were going to be more attractive behaviors, and so a divergence happens. And and it winds up killing the relationship because she thought one thing and he thought another, and that's that. And so I think what most men really need to keep in mind is that, you know, even if it's somewhat of a casual interaction, you still have a great responsibility and leadership role there that you have to fulfill. And when you think about it like that, that's when you find the really high-quality women start responding to you, and you're able to choose the right woman for you if indeed what you want is a long-term relationship, and know that you always have that skill.
Right, exactly. And that brings up one final thing I wanted to talk about really quickly before I let you go, and that's that. That's the thing of what I call source, and it's basically where are you going and where are you meeting people? Because, you know, I always laugh at people talking about how they went out to the bar or whatever and they scored and stuff like that. But, you know, what I know is that same girl just went out and last night, the night before that, maybe even twice that one day, she was with a different guy. So your whole mentality of you being the man because you know, quote unquote, scored with this one girl – really, in the grand scheme of things, you just happened to stumble across a girl that was ready, willing, and able to do whatever. You just happened to be there, so it was less skill than anything else. And so that's why I was saying that a lot of times guys can start to get into, you know, some really, really bad mental places when it comes to women, because they're only dealing with the low quality women. But then again, you've got the high quality women. So
yeah, well, I mean. The point that you brought up there is very important, because very few guys ever sit down and think about what it is they want and don't want in a woman. And I tell these guys in exercise, write this stuff out, make a whole list. What is it you want, you don't want? What is it that you must have, can't have, all that type of stuff. What's that mental image you have in your head? Okay, where is that woman the probability she's going to hang out, and what's the probability she's not going to hang out? Well, if you want to have a long-term relationship, it's probably not going to be in a college dive bar, because the only women that hang out at bars are women that hang out at bars. And so now you begin to orient yourself. What are the situations I insert myself into where this woman is most likely to be, so that you have the highest probability of meeting her? It becomes a time management deal. But a lot of guys don't sit down and think from the beginning what it is that they want, and so they insert themselves into bad sources, to use your terminology, and they wind up with very low-quality women because they didn't think about what they wanted in the first place, where to meet that type of woman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it kind of goes back to personal boundaries, which I think that's one thing that a lot of guys just don't have, just a personal boundary of what they will deal with, what they won't deal with, and those things are just and then some things in the middle, but the ones on the outside are basically non-negotiable, and guys just don't have that.
Right.
Right. Well, cool, man. Well, do you got anything else that you wanted to kind of kick out real quick?
Well, the only thing that I'll mention is that, as you know, I got a website, womenapproachyou.com, and if guys want to go there, got some free reports, where to meet sexy women, what to say to women, got that video that I talked about, the 40-minute video, how to get rid of all your unattractive behaviors. It's womenapproachyou.com, womenapproachyou.com. It's spelled like it sounds. And if they go there, they can, you know, get their hands on all of that stuff. And I got a lot of videos and stuff I'll send them, you know, down the road, cool free reports, good information. And they can really learn how to begin to craft this skill of attraction, or really learn how to get women to start approaching them.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you should check it out, especially since we just touched on this whole source issue and stuff like that. And you've actually got a report to take care of that, you know, where to find these sexy, you know, high-quality women. So that's awesome. I mean, guys, definitely check that out. Well, John, I really appreciate you being on the call, man. A lot of powerful, powerful stuff. I mean, a lot of different stuff than we've talked about before on the podcast. So I really appreciate it, buddy.
Yeah, my pleasure. Appreciate you having me on here.
All right, man. We'll see you in a couple weeks.
All right.
All righty.